I ask that you remain standing for the reading of our sermon text. Sermon text is different than what's in the bulletin. It's Titus chapter 3, verses, I'm sorry, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14, page 1170 in the Pew Bible. Hear the word of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. You may be seated. And I ask, please, that you would pray with me and for me. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, give you glory. We're grateful, Lord, for your word, which is truth. We pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us in your truth, in your word of truth. And so we pray that you would use this time, that you'd use the preaching of the gospel to convict us and to show us our need to repent and our need to believe the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do thank you for grace. We pray that it would dawn on us and discipline us so that we would be like you, that we would be godly. And so bless this word to us, we pray, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Sermon title this morning is The Dawn and Discipline of Grace. The Dawn and Discipline of Grace. And here we have before us one of those classic texts where Paul delights to state and restate the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this portion, he does it in terms of the grace of God, God's unearned favor, which dawns on and disciplines us to live godly. And so the main point that we want to consider this morning is this, that God gives grace to train us to be godly. God gives us grace to train us to be godly. And this is wonderful and amazing and revolutionary if we can get a hold of this, if it can get a hold of us, because all of the appearing and bright dawning of God's grace is such an amazing thing that if it touches us in this way, we will never be the same again. Amen. And so we want to talk about grace dawning. A great light of grace has dawned on us in the incarnation. And this is something that we see again and again in the scripture. There's a church holiday called Epiphany to think about this dawning of God's grace. Have you ever heard of someone having an epiphany? It's something dawns on them and they understand and know something better than they ever have. It's like light has come into their life and their experience. And we see this idea of epiphany, a bright dawn, repeatedly in Scripture. Psalm 97:11 says, light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. And then Psalm 112:4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. The Lord is gracious, merciful, and righteous. And then 2 Samuel 23:4, he, God, dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. And then there's the more familiar Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then Isaiah 60:1, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. And then Malachi 4:2, but you who fear my name, the sun, the S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And then a familiar Christmas text, the words of Zechariah in Luke 1:78-79, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. And then, of course, there's 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter 1:19, some of you may know of this verse, you must pay close attention to what the prophets wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Has the light of the grace of God dawned on you? Have you been changed forever? That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Remember Saul of Tarsus, who was breathing out threats and persecuting the church of God. He was going to Damascus to imprison some and persecute them. But then the light of Jesus dawned on him on the road to Damascus, and he would never be the same. Do you know this dawning of God's grace and God's light in Christ Jesus? Well, we know if that grace and that light has had an effect in our lives, if it disciplines us so that we live godly. And so the grace that dawns on us is also the grace that disciplines us to live in a godly way. Now, we need to define terms. What is godly? What does it mean to live godly? Well, to be godly means to be like God, to be similar to him in character. Now, we can't have the incommunicable attributes of God. You know, he's infinite, he's eternal, and he's unchangeable. We can't have those, but he also is a God who is loving, who is compassionate, who is good, who is, well, we know the catechism. God is a spirit who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, goodness, and truth. And so some of those attributes we can have because they're not only God's. They are ones that we also can share in. And so as much as we can share in those attributes, we should. And that's what it means to be godly, to be like God. So grace disciplines us so that we can live godly. As it says in our passage, it says, God's grace teaches us or trains us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And so grace is not just so we can escape punishment or have a get-out-of-hell-free card. Grace disciplines us so we can live in a way that's godly, in a way that's pleasing to God. So the grace of God is something that happened. In other words, Jesus died on the cross to show us the favor of God towards sinners, and that God provided a way for sinners to be made righteous before God. And so there's the objective reality. Jesus died, Christ died for sinners. But it's not enough for there to just be the objective reality. We need to have the subjective experience of it as well. We need both. We need objectivity and subjectivity, both. And so the question is, has this dawned on you about the glory and greatness of the grace of God? And then, is it disciplining you? Is it making a difference and a change in your life? And so that's what we're after. We need to experience subjectively the great shining of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And so the question is, am I really learning what grace has to teach? Sometimes we think, well, God's just going to be gracious so I can live whatever way I want. And that's not letting grace teach you what it's supposed to teach you. It's to teach us to live godly in this present age. And so God expects the doctrine of grace to be displayed in the life of the Christian. We must live godly in this present age. And so godliness is not for the great by and by. Godliness is for right now. Therefore, we should live soberly. Verse 12. In other words, we should live with a sound mind. And a sound mind is the mind of Christ. The mind that says no to lusts, to inordinate and uncontrolled desires. We need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2. And so I ask us this morning, where is our hunger for that? Where is our hunger for our minds to be renewed according to the scripture? Where is our hunger for the word of God? I remember years ago when Laura and I, we had the privilege of traveling to Uganda. And we were sharing the word with various people, and we went to a shop, and the shop owner closed down the shop. And we said, you don't have to close down your shop. And the shop owner said, it's okay. We are hungry for the word of God. And I thought, wow. Oh, that we would have a hunger for the word of God and a hunger for godliness. So we want to live soberly, say no to lusts, and say yes to God. We want to live righteously. Verse 12 says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What does it mean to live righteously? Well, it means to live under the righteousness of Christ. And so we have a righteousness that has been given to us as a gift. But then we also have a righteousness that the righteousness I just mentioned was an imputed righteousness that's given to us as a gift. But then there's also an infused righteousness. I like the word infused because it makes me think of coffee or tea. And what you do with coffee or tea is you take the coffee and the tea and you infuse them into the water. The water is no longer the same thing. It's changed. It now has taken on the characteristics, the character of the tea, the character of the coffee. And when the righteousness of Christ is infused into us, we take on the character, the righteousness of Christ. It changes us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have not only an imputed righteousness, we also have an infused righteousness. So we live sensibly, righteously, and godly. That is, we live like God in character and behavior in all the communicable attributes. In other words, just like God hates sin and loves righteousness, so we begin to hate sin and love righteousness. Just as God shows forth the fruit of the Spirit, we show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I think that's another good definition of what godliness is. It's showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. And then lastly, the doctrine of grace disciplines us so that we make no excuses. I think our big problem is, well, I did thus and so because, and then you give a reason why you're disobeying and not being godly. But the grace of God disciplines us so that we don't make excuses and we don't push back against God's word. Amen? Now, what are the results? What are the results of living godly? Well, you see some of those results starting at verse 13. It says, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you looking for? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for his second advent? The word here for appearing is the same word that was used at the beginning regarding his appearing the first time. He's going to appear a second time in glory. And so the question is, are we ready? Are we ready for that appearing? And it's the appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This isn't the appearing of just any man. This is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Beloved, do you know that you have been redeemed from every lawless deed? That's what the word says. We need to believe it and then live it. Amen? That's why he gave himself, to redeem you and to redeem me. And so, do you believe that you're bought with a price? Therefore, honor the Lord in your body. Amen. And then another result is that he would purify his own special people, zealous for good works. And so now we are pure, we are special, and we are zealous. Do you think of yourself as pure, special, and zealous? That's what God's word says. We're zealous for good works. Amen. And so these are the results when God's grace has its way in us, when that grace dawns on us and that grace disciplines us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Please pray with me. Thank you, our Father, for your grace, for your favor that we did not earn, for your mercy that we can cry out to you and say, God, be merciful to me on the basis of your blood poured out on the cross to take away my sin. Thank you, Lord, that we don't need to continue in the bondage of sin, but you have made a way to set us free, and that you discipline us so that we can live in a way that is godly. And so give us grace to believe this truth. When we fall short, we pray, Lord, that we would confess our sins and believe that you are faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for the good news of your grace. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.